Portland, the time is 11 o'clock. Coming up next on Stage and Studio, D-May speaks with Connie Carley, co-founder and managing director of Passin Art, a theater company, and she discusses the company's growth and 36-year history. KBOO programming is made possible by cable member listeners and support from Portland Saturday Market, 47 years of American-made arts and crafts, freshly prepared, international foods, local artisans, and local music in downtown Portland. Open every Saturday and Sunday in Waterfront Park now through Christmas Eve. Event schedule, vendor information, and more is available at PortlandSaturdayMarket.com.
I'm D-May Roberts, Stage and Studio. We're listening to music from Seven Guitars. August Wilson's play is getting a production opening this weekend at Passin Art, a theater company. And we're going to be talking with Connie Carley, co-founder and managing director of Passin Art, about the company's growth during its 38-year history. We'll also hear about Seven Guitars from director William Earl Ray. The show opens March 13th and runs through April 12th at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. So stay tuned. Lots to talk about. This is Stage and Studio. I'm D-May Roberts. I'm actually live right now in the Passin Art conference room. And with me is co-founder and managing director of Passin Art, a theater company, Connie Carley. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Really well, thank you. Thank you for taking the time. And with her is director William Earl Ray of Passin Art's upcoming production of Seven Guitars by August Wilson. You're finally moved here.
Yes, I am here.
Well, it's good. We've been talking about it for a few months now, almost a couple years, I think.
A couple of years, yes. When it was Two Trains? How long has that been?
Yeah, since Two Trains, I think you were talking about moving here.
Yeah, and that was what, 2 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah, so 2 years ago, yes. And so now I'm here.
Well, we're happy to have you. Thank you for moving to Portland. So welcome both to Stage and Studio in your office. We're going to first talk with you, Connie, about, you know, just the early days of Passin Art, about the founding of it as an organization. How did all of that come together?
Well, I moved here right out of college in late 1970s, and I was in a program that was trying to increase the diversity of teachers in the Portland public schools. And I met Michael Grant, who's the other co-founder of the company, and Clarice Bailey. They both was educators, but they also were artists, directors, and poets. And so Michael had been performing throughout the Portland area in some of the theaters, but there wasn't a lot of plays available for people of color at that time to perform in. So he had the vision of creating a space for new and experienced artists to come together to not only to perfect their skills, but also to share their talents within the Portland metro area.
Were you a theater person before this?
I had taken theater in high school and some in college. I really was more of a dancer. I liked the all types of dance. And so I got involved in high school in South Pacific, actually. I actually went to high school and college in Washington State. And so I was in suburbia, Shoreline area in Seattle, and they invited me to join the theater department, and so I was in South Pacific, but it was in the middle of the civil rights movement, so it was timely, I think.
Wow, what a production that was to see. Well, you've had a history with working with several nonprofits,
yes,
right, as well as developing Passin Art. So do you think that experience, it must have really helped?
Yes, I've always had a passion for advocating and promoting services for families and children and adults. And so I come out of a social justice family. We are the first ones to integrate that neighborhood in Shoreline in Seattle. We were one of three families. And so I saw my parents take some stands. And so at that point, in time, I knew I had to contribute and advocate for other people for equal rights. And so it's just a part of who I am. I don't see art as a separate entity. I think it should be integrated in everything we do. And so I never really separated my work life, other work life, in passing art. I always felt that arts was a way to give people a voice that normally would not have the opportunity to speak on behalf of issues that impacts them every day.
Well, I think theater can have a social justice mission, and it seems like passing art is one of those theaters.
Yes, and our goal is to not only entertain people, but to educate, celebrate our culture, and highlight issues that impacts our community as well as the general community at large. We have, from the beginning, always wanted to help people have the opportunity to come and hear about the history of our community, as not just the general community, but specifically the Black community, because some of our young people were not aware of some of the historical things that have happened in our country that impacts them. And so we've been very intentional about what we select. At least one of our productions a year will deal with a key issue within our community.
And at what point did Passing Art start doing full seasons? Because I think I remember a production since 1989 when I moved here.
Probably about 5 or 6 years ago, we increased the number of production we did per year because we kept being asked to do more and more. But we were very committed to not bringing up a production unless we could afford to do so. We have a history of paying our artists from the very beginning. Our board and volunteers administer our company from the administrative side. They were volunteers, but we always paid our tech staff and our artists. And so we've been committed to that. And so as we've been able to raise additional funding and get support from individuals as well as foundations, we were able to increase our season. But we always did one full production a year, and stage readings as well as other special events within the community that had a historical impact, like Juneteenth, Black History Month. So we were always involved within the community, whether it was theater or not.
Was that about that time that you became the managing director too?
I became managing director about 3 years ago. Yeah. I retired from the state of Oregon after 23 years, and so we were able to secure some funds through the Regional Arts and Cultural Council, and we were one of the original groups to be a part of their capacity building program. And so with those funds, we were able to hire me, and with some limited hours, I still volunteer the majority of my time. So we were able to fund some limited hours for myself and Jerry Foster as artistic director.
Well, I think that was a good move to do that. And I imagine that's one of the milestone moments for yes. Passing Art Theater. And I also imagine that you're working also to get younger audiences to the theater?
Yes, we are. That is the challenge I think all theater companies are dealing with at this time, but we are trying to be more intentional about it and working with some of our community partners that works with young people to invite them in and provide either complimentary tickets or discounted tickets so they could have an opportunity to come and see live theater, because again, some of our young people and residents in our community have not seen live theater. So we have been committed to doing not only affordable but quality theater over the years so that people can see themselves on stage and hear our stories.
And what are some of the future goals for Passing Art?
One of our goals is this summer we are going to be launching our performing arts program for young people, and we're targeting middle schools to expose them to the various components of the theater company and working with other artists in the area to provide those workshops for them. We're also looking at doing a reader's Theater, African Americans Readers Theater Series later on in August. And then again, we want to do our Sweet Taste of the Arts, which is our annual fundraiser. And this year it's a Caribbean adventure theme. So we hope people come out and have fun. And we do honor local artists that have had an impact on the cultural landscape of Oregon over the years. So it's a fun evening for us. So it's busy, busy, and busy, but it's fun. And next year we hope to, again, have another full season.
You haven't announced it yet, though, right?
No, we have not.
When will you?
It should be coming out soon.
You don't want to break some news here, I take it. Okay, I'll keep asking you. In case you just joined us, I'm Dimae Roberts, stage and studio, with my guest Connie Carley, co-founder and managing director of Passon Art Theater, and director William Earl Ray of Passon Art's upcoming production of Seven Guitars. Seven Guitars opens March 13th and runs through April 12th at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. And you can find out more about that at passonart.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio and stageandstudio.org, where you can hear podcasts of this show. And we are on location today at Passon Art's office conference room. So I'm really thrilled to see the inner works of Passon Art right now. Bill, I want to talk to you about Seven Guitars. And we've talked about before on Stage and Studio about the wealth of experience you bring to productions of August Wilson's works. I imagine you've done, have you done Seven Guitars before?
I've directed it twice prior to this production, yes.
Yeah, I kind of figured you did. You actually had a pretty close relationship, or you knew August Wilson?
Yes, I did. I would like to say that I knew him as much as others did, but I did know him, and I did have the opportunity to even speak with him on occasions, and even spoke with him about a production that I was getting ready to do of his play, Joe Turner's Come and Gone, where I played the role of Harold Loomis, which was a very difficult role. But I was up on Capitol Hill one day, and I saw him sitting around. He was just sitting there, and he was just watching people like he does. Like people say, he was just watching people. And I walked up, and I said, hey. And he said, hey, because he remembered me from, you know, a couple of other times that we had seen each other. And so we started talking, and I was telling him that I was in a play that I was doing and that I was getting ready to go back to Texas to do Joe Turner's Come and Gone, and I was playing the role of Harold Loomis. And then all of a sudden, he started talking, and I don't think I got another word in edgewise within that whole, and I think it was about an hour that he sat there and talked to me about the play and that role, and that by the time he got to the place where Loomis cuts himself, he said he was sweating. His whole shirt was just wet. And I remember that to this very day, that's what he told me. And I took those notes mentally, and went home and write them all out because I wasn't going back to Texas for another 3 weeks. So I just took all that information, went back to my space, and just started writing everything that I heard that I could remember that he said about it. So, and then I took that with me back to Texas to do that role.
You could do a monologue about August Wilson giving you a monologue.
Yes, I could.
Well, you have to wonder, because his language is very much conversational, but storytelling. And so, you know, just your experience with him, in which you sat there for an hour listening to him, you know, what was that, you know, how did that feel to you?
Well, I mean, sometimes you don't know how someone on his level of professionalism and notoriety is going to respond to you. He was very open. He was very communicative, and you can get anything out of him that you want in terms of just sitting and talking to him. So, for me, and then I worked with him again. He was around a lot when I was I did understudy for the piano lessons that was done at Seattle Rep with my clandestine mentor, Lord Richards, who was directing it. So, and August was around then, so we got a chance to talk and communicate with each other quite a bit. So, and I think that was the last time I saw him was when I understudied at Seattle Rep.
Well, now you're doing the third production, your third production of Seven Guitars. Mm-hmm. And that was first produced in 1995, I believe.
Yes.
And the story follows seven African-American characters after the funeral of a friend in 1948 in Pittsburgh. And in that plot, the friendships are sort of tested and revealed. You want to talk more about the story?
You know, I almost overslept to get here today. Someone called me and woke me up, and I'm like, oh, my God. And so I left all of my notes that I wanted to speak about in regards to a quote that he wrote in his book about where he thinks this play comes from. And so for me, I think that Seven Guitars comes from what he watched during his childhood with his mother and their family, and knowing that his mother, that's an interview about from one of his, I think it was one of his nieces who talks in an interview that his mother was a card player, and we'd play cards in this, and that she had road rage, and that she, you know, and that I think that he took a lot of what he saw as a child and put it into this play in this backyard of Pittsburgh, which I think is probably reminiscent of where he lived in Pittsburgh. So you got all of these different people who are like guitar strings, and each one has a different tune to it, and they all are grabbing and trying to survive through a period that we are still probably dealing with today, which is unfortunate, but we're still trying to move around in a culture that don't like us or don't want us or whatever that is. I'm not sure what that is. I'm not sure if it's fear, if it's anger. I mean, I'm not, you know. So anyway, I don't want to get into this political conversation in
this
moment.
Oh, you're welcome to do that.
But that's what these people, they're moving through life. They're trying to survive, and each one of them have their own song to sing about how to move through life. And I think also talks about each person has they have a goal, they have stakes,
each one is a guitar that plays a different tune.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I think it's brilliant, actually, as a title, too. So there is the significance of a rooster in the play, and I guess we should give some kind of, you know, spoiler alert about that, because you already did, that there is a ritual slaughter that's really important to the plot. And you're not actually showing anything, are you? I'm asking for people who are faint of heart, like me.
I don't think we're doing something that you could be, that you would... let's just put it this way. No live chickens are being killed.
I would suspect that's true. But it's what is the significance of that, though? Because I think that is an important plot point.
The rooster is, you know, I'd rather not, it's a say, actually.
Okay.
I would rather for it to be a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I think it would be more appreciated if an audience sits there and understand it. Because I think these actors, no, I know these actors are... expressing this language explicitly well.
What are some of the themes that Seven Guitars brings out?
Life, love, passion, companionship, all those things that we move through life with. The same as most of his themes, but particular to African Americans, you know, and a culture, because it's very culturally based, of course. Those are the things that I think you'll see in this play. Yeah.
And how does the Seven Guitars fall into, I guess, the whole canon of August Wilson's work is to move through time, right, and to move through decades. How does it fit in with the chronology, the time? I mean, yes, it's 1948.
Well, it's 1948, and chronologically, in terms of, I think, it's the seventh. It's the seventh in this chronological order of his plays. Yeah.
Do you ever have like favorites, you know, or do they move through time for you?
Do I have favorites? Yeah, of course I have favorites. And I don't want to, and to say that I have favorites doesn't dissipate my likes for the others, you know. And this is one of my favorites, of course. Two Trains is in that running, you know. And if I line them all up, it would be like a photo finish in a race. Which one is who won the race? So that's the way I would have to line them up for me.
And they're continually racing each other, I'm sure. So yeah.
They are, because a lot of people, the one play that most companies do the most they do fences the most. And I think it's because fences seem to be more safe than, say, Joe Turner or even Seven Guitars. 20 productions of Fences are being done this year alone.
Across the country?
Across the country, 20. There are 7 productions of 7 guitars that are going on right now this year, and we're passing on as one of the 7 that's doing 7 guitars. Yeah.
I think my favorites are Ma Rainey and the piano lesson because females are, yes, you know, more present. So, yeah, you know, I think it depends on the person, which ones they like.
I think so, but I think there are wonderful roles in this play for female roles.
Yeah, you've got Josie Seed in it. And yeah, let's talk about the cast. Bobby Bermea, yeah, I know, Victor, yeah, Max,
Victor
in
Max
it.
In it.
Jerry, of course.
Jerry's in it. Lydia Fleming, who was in the No Play for me, she's in it. And a young man who I worked with years ago in 1986, who just moved back here, is playing the role of Headley, and it's Steve Lee, who's back here in the area. And Cicely Ash is back with us, working with us. So that's the cast. Yeah, yeah.
You were rehearsing while I was rehearsing another show at the same space, mm-hmm, at Oregon Children's Theater, and I was like, wow, this is a great cast. I was like, you're all in this show? I mean, it's pretty amazing to get this group of people together in one room.
Yeah, and the other thing about August and about this play is what they represent in society, or what they're trying to get out of society. Each character is looking for something, and what that is, for instance, the difference between Floyd and Cainwell, for instance. Cainwell wants the simpler part of life. You know, he wants to have a room with a woman that he can sit down with and talk and have the life of raising a garden or things like that, all the simpler things of life. Floyd wants the things that most people want, a Cadillac, a phone, all those material things. So he wants the material things of life. So that's how you describe maybe a little bit about the difference between those two people, and then the difference between everyone else and what they want. And August is setting it up so that each one of these characters have their needs and wants through life, and then put them together and let them, you know, fight among themselves or communicate among themselves, whatever they do.
And they'll do both of those,
and
I'm sure.
Both, yes.
Passing Art presents 7 Guitars by August Wilson, directed by William Earl Ray. The show opens March 13th and runs through April 12th at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, the IFCC, and that's located at 5340 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. Show runs on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 3 p.m., and you can reserve tickets at passingart.org. And before we go, Connie, I just also want to talk about the companion exhibit that's upstairs in the gallery as well. It's, do you want to talk about it? It's about Oregon's civil rights movement.
Yes, we were fortunate to secure that exhibit from the Black Pioneers who put together that exhibit. And it's a traveling exhibit that highlights the milestones of the civil rights movement here in Oregon. A lot of times we focus nationally, but there was quite a movement here in Oregon, so it highlights those milestones and those who contributed to the civil rights movement at that time.
Well, the exhibit is pretty moving. I've seen it before in other places, and it's a 10-foot-long double-sided kiosk that details Oregon's history. Oregon Black Pioneers is a group that I think people should know more about, and I also recommend going online at OregonBlackPioneers.org to get more history. Yes. I mean, they do an incredible job.
Absolutely, and we were fortunate to have one of their members as our former board member, Kim Moreland. It was just great. She just says sure and brings it over, and she has a passion for history, and especially Oregon's history. So, yes, that's an organization more people should know about. And one of the things we like to do is to highlight businesses other groups that are doing things that supports our community and the community in general.
I hope you sell her book at the lobby, because she's got a great book too. Yes. Yeah, it's incredible. So I'm glad you're featuring it, and that's running the entire time as Seven Guitars is. In the time remaining, I just want to know what's upcoming. Connie, you mentioned a couple other projects that were upcoming.
Well, as I mentioned, the next event we're having is our Sweet Taste of the Arts, and that's going to be May 16th at the Columbia River Yacht Club. So we want people to come out and have fun.
I've never been to that. That sounds really classy.
And then we're having our Summer Youth Performing Arts program that's going to run June 22nd through August 2nd at the Interstate Firehouse Culture Center. That's for young people, middle age. So we're dealing with 13 to 15 years old.
Oh, I'm glad you're doing that. A long time ago, IFCC used to be a multicultural arts organization. I did a summer youth program in the Neighborhood Arts Project. Oh. Yeah, so I'm glad you're bringing that back.
Yeah. Jerry Foster, who is our artistic director, and he took over in 1995, and Wanda Walton worked on the inner city student program, and they did a partnership with the Interstate Firehouse called Good in the Hood. And so they served over two productions, 150 young people. So Jerry's been wanting to bring that back for a while now. So we think the timing is right. We have artists. We're partnering with different artists in the community to do things from directing, acting, writing, playwriting, and so we're really excited about that. And so hopefully if it goes well this summer, we'll extend it next year.
I just want, why doesn't the city just give you IFCC? That's all I'm going to say. And Bill, anything upcoming after Seven Guitars?
Not confirmed. So I'm back here now. I am sitting out my resumes. I'm going to try to get some resumes and get up to Seattle as well. It's interesting because when I was here before, I lived in Seattle and I trekked down to Portland. Now I'm living in Portland. I'll be trying to trek up to Seattle. So we're going to see how that plays out.
Yeah. It's not too far.
No, but the traffic is a lot different than it was back when I was living in Seattle at that time. So it's different in that capacity. But I'm learning the system here in terms of getting around the traffic. You know, right now I don't have to get on the freeway to get to IFCC from where I am right now. So that's a plus. You know, I'm riding along Barber Street and I'm looking down at the freeway. I'm like, nope, don't want to be down there right now.
And yeah, it's grown so much.
Well, you know, and for me too, I'm not good about sitting in traffic. So what I do is I'll leave 2 hours early to be over at the theater. I'd rather sit over there for 2 hours than sit in traffic.
Well, that's good advice for everybody. So once again, I just want to say Seven Guitars, Pass an Art, this weekend, March 13th, and runs through April 12th at IFCC, and that's 5340 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. And Connie Carley, Managing Director, and William Earl Ray of Seven Guitars, Director of Seven Guitars, thank you for this chance to talk to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And break legs.
Will do.
That's it for Stage and Studio. You can hear it again at stageandstudio.org or kboo.fm/stageandstudio. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, like us on facebook.com/stage, the letter N, studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going to go out with more music from Seven Guitars by August Wilson.
KBOO at the Clinton is a monthly film series that benefits your community radio station. This month's screening is Honeyland, on Thursday, March 12th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. Honeyland chronicles a Macedonian woman's journey in strife while cultivating honey using ancient beekeeping traditions. Again, that's Honeyland, on Thursday, March 12th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBU Community Radio will be conducting a news and public affairs orientation on Tuesday, March 10th from 5 o'clock till 6 o'clock. This orientation will provide you with a crash course in news and public affairs productions here at KBU. Over the hour, we will cover our philosophy, our expectations, how it all works, and how you can get started with us. This training will be taught by Althea Billings, the news director, and myself, Tammy Hepteus, the public affairs director. The training will take place at KBU at 20 Southeast 8th Ave. Hope to see you there.
This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next on Art Focus, Kristen Derryberry covers The Unknown Artist by Lucy Cotter, now showing at the 511 building of the Arlene and Harold Schnitzer Center for Art and Design, now through April 18th. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from PDX Pendables, stage and studio supplies. PDX Pendables sells and rents to film and theater production, from gel and globes to paint and lights, featuring the latest Airy LED lighting. More information is available at 503-887-5880 and pdxpendables.com.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream at him on my wall. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
I'll edit. Hi, you are listening to KBOO Portland. I am Kristen Derryberry, and this week's guest host for Art Focus. Today, we are talking to Lucy Cotter, the curator for the show Unknown Artist, up now until April 18th at 511 Gallery at Pacific Northwest College of Art, Center for Contemporary Art and Culture. Hi.
Hi, Kristen. Lovely to be here.
It's nice to have you during the crazy week of opening and a bunch of events that are coming up, too, and that I thought was really awesome that you're engaging the audience with multiple different activities that are happening throughout the opening.